As China's leader visits the U.S., do American businesses feel welcome in China?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. During his summit with President Obama this week, Chinese President Hu Jintao is likely to get an earful about China's undervalued currency, the trade imbalance, the country's treatment of American businesses. But a survey out today of U.S. businesses in China shows a different picture. Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
They complain about DVD piracy and intellectual property violations. They gripe about a market that favors Chinese companies. But U.S. businesses in China are, well, happy.
Very impressive financial results, best ever since we've been doing this survey.
The American Chamber of Commerce survey coordinator Stephen Gansner says U.S. companies never made so much money in China. 8 out of 10 companies surveyed say they're very profitable.
The experience level of 5, 10, 15 years in the market have helped companies to be a little bit smarter, avoid some of the stupid mistakes that were made in the past, and know how to win.
But that doesn't mean they're content with the rules. 2/3 of companies surveyed continue to be frustrated about China's regulatory environment. Many feel that China's so-called indigenous innovation laws, a national campaign to spur innovation among Chinese companies, is creating an increasingly unfair playing field. But it's a field nobody intends to leave anytime soon. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz from Marketplace.
The Federal Reserve has kept interest rates at just above zero for more than 2 years now. But in Brazil, another expected interest rate hike today could push rates above its current 11%. Inflation in Brazil is at a 6-year high, and the central bank there is desperate to get things under control. The BBC's Paulo Cabral joins us now from Sao Paulo. Good morning.
Hello, Steve.
Why is inflation so high over there in Brazil, and what risks are there if they keep raising the interest rates?
Well, you know, what we have now in Brazil is what economists call demand inflation. That means people willing to buy too much. That's not surprising. Brazil is in a very good economic moment, so people have more money. Supply and demand makes that prices then rise. And then how that relates to interest rates. Government has to keep the interest rates high to hold the inflation, but keeping the interest rates high, it's also harder to increase the productivity in the country, and that causes inflation.
Now, Paulo, inflation here in the United States is about 1%. What's it like living in a country where prices are rising more rapidly?
Well, look, you know, it's about 5% in Brazil right now, and that's not even what would be considered really high in Brazil. I remember 20 years ago, inflation would reach the heights of 90% in one month, you know. That means like having a check in your hand. If you take 1 week to cash it, it already lost 1/4 of its value. So you do notice that your salary buys less and less over time. But I think the real fear in Brazil is to go back to that situation of hyperinflation that the country has experienced in the past.
The BBC's Paulo Cabral joining us this morning from Sao Paulo. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mostly mixed. Tech stocks overseas were given a boost by IBM and Apple earnings. IBM reported a more than $5 billion profit last quarter. Apple said holiday sales were brisk, featuring the sales of iPads and iPhone 4s. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 50 points to close at 11,837.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions since 1896. Allianzusa.com. By Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud. And by PBS, presenting a look at the cutting edge, like car parts made from mushrooms. Nova's Making Stuff, tonight at 9, 8 Central on PBS.
We've been focusing the past few days on the Chinese president's visit to the U.S., and today, as part of the Marketplace Globalist Quiz, we look at how an uptick in income in Asia over the years tells a bigger story about the economy there. Stefan Richter is publisher and editor-in-chief of theglobalist.com. He's with us now. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Steve. How are you? Ready for today's quiz?
I am ready. I am ready. Let's do it.
Which Asian country's economic lot has improved the most since the 1960s? And measured by income per person.
All right.
Is it A, Japan, B, Singapore, C, South Korea, or D, the eternal favorite for everything these days, China?
Since the 1960s, huh?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm going to guess China.
For once, China is not the top performer in global economic statistics these days. You know, they made $100 a year in current dollars of 1965. So see how far they've gone. And they almost make around $3,000 these days, at least as of 2008 data. And, of course, that's increasing a lot. That's 2,800% more, but you struck out.
Okay, then let's try Japan.
Japan is number four among these options. But they've come a long way. They made $890 per year back in 65, and now it's over $38,200, and that's a 4,200% increase.
I'd like that raise. So, I'm not getting any raises, though, with the way I'm dealing with this question right here, Stefan. All right, let's try South Korea.
You are a genius. Bingo. 16,500% increase. So the South Koreans have reason to feel good about themselves. Back in 65, they made $130 a year. Now it's over $22,000 a year. That's pretty cool.
Stefan Richter, the editor-in-chief over at The Globalist. Find out more about the world at theglobalist.com. Stefan, thanks.
All the best. Bye-bye.
And finally, in a time of so much music available to the masses, new translation guides to rap music have been popping up online all over the place. There's understandingrap.com. So when somebody is unsure of just what Lil Wayne means by rapping, "I got through that sentence like a subject and a predicate," he's not talking about grammar. Says Tom Lehman of rapgenius.com, quote, "Most rap listeners, like most rock and roll listeners, are more interested in a hot beat and a catchy hook than deep, meaningful lyrics." I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The gambling money just hasn't been flowing, so Atlantic City, New Jersey is trying something a little bit different.
That's a 25-pound bunny that retails for about $150. We have many retailers who buy that to make a statement in their store.
I'm Kai Rizdahl from Vice to Nice. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.